one of our great English prophets once said, I try and I try and I try and I try. I can't get no satisfaction. Now, words there from the Book of Jagger. I guess we all know it. I guess we know the song. We know satisfaction. But the reality is actually many of us don't know satisfaction, do we? Not really, not like in our lives. Actually, we often find ourselves wanting more, or we find that we're just not really that satisfied with where we are. And that can be for a number of different reasons. You know, some of us watching this, we might be Christians. And you know, maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, and maybe you think back to a time when maybe you first became a Christian, and actually being a Christian was easy. It was a real joy serving Jesus. It just felt really, really natural. But actually now you find yourself in a place where you feel spiritually dry, actually kind of parched. You kind of feel like you don't really hear from God anymore, and you don't feel close to God. And you maybe even wonder, like, is God even there? And, you know, maybe you think about that song, the Tim Hughes song, I think it's Consuming Fire, that begins with a line, there must be more than this. And actually, that's how you feel. There must be more than this, than the Christian life I have at the moment, just not satisfied. But we might be dissatisfied with our lives for reasons nothing to do with faith at all. It might be because we're powerless. You know, maybe we always thought that one day we would have that job, you know, we would have that particular career, or that we would meet someone, a partner, a husband or a wife, someone who would love us and we would love them, and you know, maybe we would have a family and do things together. Or we thought, you know, one day I'll sort myself out, you know, I'll sort this body out and I'll get myself into shape. But actually you've just found that we don't really have what you need to make those things happen. You know, maybe you don't have the qualifications to get that job. You don't have the finances to get the qualifications. You know, you can't make yourself meet someone. You can't make that happen. Maybe you don't have the strength or the motivation to change yourself, you know, to be that better person or more confident, whatever it is you want to do. And actually, you know, that leaves us dissatisfied with who we are and where we are. But then there'll be people who aren't the powerless people. It'll be people who actually have plenty. There'll be those of us who have, we've got all we need, really. Our life is full of stuff. We've got money to spend. You know, we've got the job. We've got the high-flying career. Maybe we've got the nice car or the nice house. We've got money to go on holidays where we like. We've got money to spend to live our lives doing the hobbies we want to do. We can have the personal trainer to get ourselves in shape. We've got all this stuff. But yet we find that none of it really actually seems to satisfy us. Or maybe it satisfies for a while, but then it just seems to disappear, like it all fades away. It's all very temporary. And actually, so we just end up chasing more and more stuff again and again. And it doesn't really matter which group of people we're in there, and I imagine that covers most of us. Actually, what they all have in common is that we're all desperate for something more. Well, what would God say to us? Well, God says, come. He says, come. Actually, you know what, this whole chapter here, Isaiah 55, is an invitation. And we love getting invitations, don't we? You know, it's really lovely when you get a letter through the door, and maybe it's an invitation to a wedding. And those are particularly good, aren't they? Because it's nice to receive an invitation to a wedding. You know that people have sat down and thought about you and thought, you know, actually, I want that person. I want you to be at my wedding. That's a real privilege, isn't it? And we also love getting wedding invitations because we know weddings are going to be good. We love a good knees up. We know there's probably going to be great food. There's going to be dancing. It's going to be a time of joy and celebration. We'll probably see a load of people, friends and family who we know and love. It's going to be a great time. And so actually here, God is inviting people. Question is, who is God inviting? Well, you know, Isaiah here is writing to God's people in exile, the people of Israel, in Babylonian captivity. Now, that's in Isaiah's future, so he's prophesying ahead to them. But, you know, there are people who are living away from Israel. They're spiritually parched. They're cut off from the temple, the place they would meet with God. There are people who are pretty much powerless in the situation they're in. And, you know, they're also just beginning to get on with their lives. Many of them are just buying into the values of Babylon. And so, you know, those of us who are listening to this, watching this, you know, we might be Christians, but we might not be. But it struck me that actually, regardless of that, we're all very much at the moment of people who are in captivity, aren't we? You know, with this lockdown going on for however many weeks we've been here, many of us are in captivity. We don't have the freedom to go out and see people. Maybe some of us haven't seen anyone for weeks. We're living alone. And so, you know, God is inviting people like us, people in captivity. And the first people he invites here are those who are thirsty. He says, come all you who are thirsty. God is inviting people who are spiritually dry, those who are parched and who want more. And he's saying, yes, come to me. Come all you who are thirsty. Maybe that surprises us that God would be inviting people like us who are spiritually dry, because we think, you know, God must be so disappointed in me. You know, I've barely read my Bible or prayed in months, maybe years. You know, I've barely walked with God. You know, he must be so disappointed. Why would he be interested? But actually God says, come. And God is also inviting those who are powerless, aren't they? He invites those who are broke and have nothing. You come, you who have no money. God is speaking to, you know, inviting those of us who feel powerless, who don't have what we need to get where we want to be. Those of us who are just empty-handed, ultimately. And maybe that's a surprise that God would want people like you or people like me. Because actually, in the eyes of the world, people like that, often we look at them as failures. You know, we say these people don't have what's needed to get from there to there. They don't have what it takes. And we're kind of looked down on. But actually, God looks at people who have nothing and says, come, come to me. And God is also inviting, isn't he, those who have plenty. He says, you know, he's inviting those who spend money on what is not bread and labor on what does not satisfy. You know, God is calling people who are spending their time chasing after things, trying to fill themselves up, but ultimately are finding themselves empty-handed. And maybe you know that's you. But, you know, maybe for some of you, you haven't felt like that. You felt satisfied. But maybe this lockdown has changed your perspective. Maybe this has kind of just shown actually that so many of the things that you were chasing after just seem so empty and meaningless now. They seem to have very little value. You know, think about your job. So many of us find our identity in our work, and we pour so much of our life and our time into being at the office and doing things, don't we? But many of us have been told, you know what? You're not essential. You're not a key worker. You can go home. You don't need to work from home. Actually, we're not sure whether we need you at all. Not sure whether your job will be there at the end. All these things that we spent so much time chasing have suddenly disappeared and fallen apart. The money, the security that came with those things is perhaps beginning to dry up. We don't know whether the house we've got, will we be able to pay the mortgage? You know, maybe we were fit and we were healthy and we felt great and we thought we were going to live a long life. But now this virus has hoved into view and shown that actually it's indiscriminate. It could take your health. It could take your life. It could take the health and life of people in your family without warning. And actually, so many of the things that we look to for safety and security, actually, we begin to see that they're empty, they're gone. And we're confronted, aren't we, ultimately with our own mortality in the midst of this. And we wonder, is there more? We realize we're not really satisfied. Actually, God is inviting people like you. And maybe that's surprising to you because you would think, well, I've just lived my life with no regard for God, sticking two fingers up at God. Why would he want me? But actually, he says, come, doesn't he? But what is God inviting us to? What is he actually offering? Well, you know, he says, doesn't he, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. God is offering water for those who are spiritually dry. He's offering to hydrate those of us who are parched. And God says, doesn't he, to those who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. You know, it might seem a strange thing, wine and milk. But I guess, you know, those of us who are powerless, who don't have what it takes, who are empty-handed, it's easy to feel low, isn't it? To feel rubbish and, you know, like we're failures. Not there to be much joy in our lives. God says, look, come and have wine. You know, wine in the Bible is an image of joy and celebration, wine to gladden the heart. God is saying, I can give you joy and I can give you milk. You know, milk is a picture of nourishment and growth, isn't it? I can give you the things, God is saying, that will help you to grow and nourish you. You think about a newborn baby. You know, a newborn baby doesn't need a great job or a great body. It doesn't need the latest baby grows and the most fashionable things. What a baby needs to grow and be healthy and to be fulfilled is it needs milk, milk to help it grow and to be nourished. And God is offering bread, isn't he? He's offering food to those who are laboring for that, which is not bread. He's inviting people to eat what is good. God is saying, I can give you something that will actually fill you up and will be the staple thing that you need, the essential of life. You know, all around the world, wherever you go, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or whether you're poor, everybody eats bread. It's an essential food. It's the thing that fills people up. And God is saying, that is what he's offering. But God isn't offering just a kind of list of goods and services he can give you, because after he invites you here and says, come, he says, come to me. Actually, God is offering himself, because God himself is the water. He is the wine. He is the milk. He is the bread. He is the one that can fill us up and give us joy and fulfillment and satisfaction, that can quench thirst. It's him himself. And we see that clearly, don't we, in the person of Jesus. Jesus comes and he offers himself. He offers his life for us. But he even picks up on some of these images, doesn't he? He says, you know, those who are thirsty, I will give you living water. Whoever drinks this water will never be thirsty again. And he says, I'm the bread of life. Whoever eats this bread will never go hungry again. And so God is inviting us here to himself. He's inviting us into a relationship with him. And he's inviting us to find satisfaction and fulfillment in a person, in the person of Jesus Christ. God is inviting us to fulfillment in relationship with him. You know what? He's not just offering to meet our needs either. He's not just saying, well, I'll just make sure that you're okay and fine. Actually, he's going to give us more than we need. You look at the picture here. You know, he says, doesn't he? Eat what is good and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. You know, God is saying that actually you will delight in this relationship with him. It's, you know, sometimes people think if I become a Christian, it's living on thin gruel, isn't it? But that's not the picture here. The picture here of relationship with God is a picture of a bountiful banquet, a bountiful feast that's overflowing and the richest fare. And God says, if we come to him, he says, you know, that our souls may live. Then actually, when we come to God, we will be living, we will have life. And this isn't something that will fade away. It's an everlasting thing. It's an everlasting covenant, much like the covenant of his faithful love promised to David. And that was the promise to David of the anointed one, the chosen king to come from David's line. And that wasn't based on anything David did. It wasn't based on whether David could bring anything, whether he was, you know, spiritually on the ball, whether he was the best person, whether he had all the stuff. It was based entirely on God's grace. And so this is something that won't fade away from us. But of course, in any invitation, you've got to respond to an invitation, haven't you? So how do we respond to God's invitation? Well, God tells us, first of all, that we need to listen. He says, listen to me. Give ear, hear me, that your soul may live. God says we've got to listen to him. And the way we listen to God primarily is in here, it's through the word in the Bible. And so, you know, there'll be some of us out there who maybe have never read the Bible. Maybe we used to go to church when we were younger, maybe when we were children, but we've not picked up a Bible since. Or we think the Bible is just a book of fairy tales or children's stories. Well, I want to invite you, if you want to hear from God, if you're in this position in your life where you're thinking, I'm not satisfied, you know, I'm confronted with my mortality and fragility, and I wonder, is there more? Is God there? If you want to hear from God, pick up this book and read it. You know, maybe open up Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, the biographies of Jesus' life. They're a great place to start. And just send up a prayer and say, God, if you're there, as I read this, please speak to me and let me hear from you. Help me to listen. You know, if God's not there, it will make no difference. If he is there, it could be life-changing. And, you know, you might think it's pointless to open up God's word and read it. But actually, you know, this passage says, doesn't it, that God's word is like the rain and the snow that falls on the ground. That doesn't fall for no reason. It falls and it nourishes the seed in the ground, and that grows up into product and fruit. You know, it's fruitful and yields produce. And it says God's word is the same way. God's word does not return empty. So actually, when we read God's word, we should come to it expectantly, expecting to hear God speak to us. I'm just aware, though, for those of us who are maybe thirsty and we might not have read our Bible in a long time, being told to pick up your Bible and read it can seem that's like a really trite answer, just the easy answer. But actually, it's really hard. But let me encourage you to do it, however hard it is, because, you know, the reality is if we're thirsty, it's not because of any fault on God's side. You know, it's not that there's no water coming out of the tap. It's basically that we've stopped drinking. And so open this up and drink deeply from the well that is God's word here. So if we want to respond, we need to listen. But actually, the other thing we need to do, God says, is buy and eat. You know, if you go to a restaurant, you know, imagine you've gone to a restaurant and you've been told what the good food is. The waiter's there, you know, you say, what's good to eat? You know, and he's told you, he's laid that out for you. Listen and eat what is good. Well, you know, you've got the invite to the restaurant. You've turned up. You know what's on offer. Well, you got to make a decision. You got to buy it. You got to eat it. You know, taste and see that the Lord is good. At some point, you have to say yes to Jesus. And that might be as simple as saying a prayer, saying, Lord Jesus, yes, I want you in my life. I want to come to you, please come to me. Simple as that. Come, you know, buy and eat. The other way that God says we can respond is by forsaking. It says down in verse 7, doesn't it? Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. You know, when we come to God, if we want to come into a relationship with God, actually it's going to mean forsaking certain things in our life, turning away from sinful attitudes, selfish attitudes. Because, you know, if we want to be in relationship with God, well, God is not like that. He is not full of sin. He is not full of selfishness. You know, it says in this passage, doesn't it, that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways and thoughts are higher than ours. That's saying, you know, God is not filled with these things like we are. And if we want to be in relationship with God, it's going to mean turning away from those things. And that will be different for each one of us. We might know immediately things in our life that we know wouldn't honor God, that we would need to leave behind, or we do need to leave behind when we follow Jesus. Bible uses a word for that, uses a word called repentance. It literally means to change direction, that you're changing direction in your life and turning round. And that's another way we can respond. So God is, he's inviting us to come to him. And he's saying, you know, come, listen, eat and buy, forsake. So the invitation is on the table. The question is, have you responded to the invitation? And maybe the answer is no. Maybe you haven't responded. Well, the invitation isn't enough. You know, if you get an invitation to a wedding, it's not enough just for it to sit on the kitchen counter and to expect that you're going to be able to go. If you turn up at that wedding, you're going to find that there's no place prepared for you. There won't be a seat for you at the meal. There won't be any food for you. You'll be excluded. And it's the same with God. You know, we have to RSVP like you would to the wedding, don't we? We have to get back to him and say, yes, I want in on this. It says in this passage, doesn't it? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. That's what we have to do. We have to seek the Lord. We have to call on him. Now, you know, God can always be found. Until Jesus comes back or until the day we die, we'll always be able to call on the Lord. But I wonder whether now, during this time of lockdown, whether actually this is a time where God is especially near. Because, as we've said, this lockdown has thrown light, hasn't it, on much of the emptiness of the way many of us have been living, or the meaninglessness of it, and the fragility of our lives, the mortality of our lives, that actually there must be more, we want more. And this has given us pause for thought, time to really think about this. And so I wonder whether this is the time for many of us to call on the Lord. And you might think, oh yeah, but I can do it later when this is all over. Well, you know what, yes you can. But when this is all over and we get back to normal, we'll forget about this very, very quickly. We'll go back to chasing after things or just forgetting about our fragility and our mortality. And so, you know, don't put it off. Seek the Lord now while he may be found. You know, accept him now. Or maybe you've already accepted him. And actually, it tells us here what that will mean for us. It will mean that we live, we can have life. But it says, doesn't it, that we will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. And the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you. And the trees of the field will clap their hands. You know, when we come to know Jesus, when we accept this invitation, we can have life in Jesus, but we can have a joy and a peace, maybe a joy and a peace that you don't have right now, particularly during this time. Maybe you haven't had joy and peace for a long time, but maybe particularly now in this time of lockdown, where we're confronted by these things, maybe you don't feel peace and joy. Well, God says, come, come into relationship with him, come to Jesus and have joy, have peace. And it's an everlasting peace. It won't fade away. It's not temporary. It will go on forever. And so God is inviting us to come to him. The invitation is on the table. And you know, at some point, this is all going to be over, isn't it? This lockdown. We'll get back to some semblance of normality and we will all go out. We will all go out to our lives, go out to work, go out to school, go back to whatever it is we do. My question is this. When we go out, will we go out thirsty and broken? Will we just go back to laboring after that which isn't bread, the things that don't satisfy? Or will we go out with joy and be led forth with a peace that comes from knowing the Lord Jesus? God is inviting you to a relationship with him. The invitation is on the table. Seek the Lord while he may be found.